Okay. So now that we've got everybody out of the room, all the kids, and we went online live, now we can tell some really fun stories about the guest speaker. This would be awesome. No, we're just joking with you. Hey, just some information, because sometimes we realize how small the kingdom becomes and how close we are, like related in a sense. So our guest speaker, Pastor Brandon, this morning is basically we're like a conference buddy. You know, we see each other at conference every year. Good to see you, you know. But the history of that is, so when I was in Whitehorse, Omley and I and our family for many years, your grandfather, Harry Holmquist, was in Watson Lake. And so we got to do some ministry with him. And so back then, I wasn't thinking about that. That was like 20 years ago. I was just thinking, good guy, you know, who knows where this ends up. So we end up moving here. And so, Brandon, your father is one of the long-standing pastors in this rich church history that we will read about him in the months to come and the weeks to come. And so we're grateful that your family had a season here, a long season. So I think about you, and like, I'm going to have a long season here, and then these kids will be a similar story as they get older. But what I realize, though, if I think about your grandfather and your father and that, like, third-generation pastor, to me, that is like, that's a blessing from the Lord. So we're grateful to have you here this morning. Absolutely. And so just some more moving parts just to kind of connect some dots here. You're here this morning because you're the guest speaker at our kids' camp this coming week. So you'll be pouring into all of our kids that are at the camp this week. And on top of that, as you are preparing yourself to minister, there is a youth worship team here. So I don't know, Danny, are you here somewhere? Danny's our summer student, and he's worked together with Pastor Ben. Danny's upstairs. Yeah, good job. Appreciate you. Working together with Pastor Ben on putting together a youth worship team. And so they'll get to practice all week. You know, they'll do a great job. But then next Sunday, that youth worship team is in the house. And so that is super exciting. Yeah, so that's wonderful. We'll be blessed by that. So maybe why don't you come up here and we'll just share just a couple more stories with you. I promise I'll give you the platform and I'll get off. And but what I was told, and so a little bit of a story here. Your parents had children, and I don't know if you're this strategic or not, but they had ABCs. They had Austin, they had yourself, Brandon, and then they had Carson. I got that right, eh? Yep. So ABCs. So I don't know. Some parents, right, they have all boys and they're all the same name, like A's or C. Anyways, I thought that was pretty interesting. That was cool. Yeah. So what about your kids? What are you, when that happens, is that going to go down?
Probably not.
Yeah, okay, good. Just making sure, yeah. But the story that I was told is that on Fairy Island, a lot of us know, you know, nice little walk around Fairy Island, you get to see carvings in the trees. And so your father, when you became, you know, this kind of coming of age of about 16, I think I was correct with that one, that your father picked people like, I think Will DeHoog is here this morning, you got Sean McCullough here this morning. I think it was Len Froese is there as well. And then another gentleman who actually, he's not here currently at this church. But these four guys kind of took you for a little walk for, you know, however many steps, and they just kind of spoke into your life. And then at the end, there was this touchdown, and your dad kind of gave you a gift at the age of 16. I just thought that was really cool, like just really, you know, intentional. And that just speaks of this generational pastor. And so I just, you know, you guys are a wonderful family. We love you guys. And so let's just give Brandon a warm welcome this morning. One more time. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, good morning, church. Everybody keeps asking me, is it weird being back? Yes, it is. this is my first time in this church building in a decade. And so it's been a long journey for me. Moving to the island, moving to the mainland, moving to the island, and bouncing back and forth a little bit. But I've landed in Souk, which is kind of funny. Pastor Rob took over a church my dad pastored at, and then I took over a church that my dad pastored at. And so I am actually pastoring the church right now that we moved from Terrace to go and pastor. And it's like a weird turn of events and like the way that it has kind of all landed. But honestly, it's so great to be with you this morning. Like, I am just, like, my heart is so full. And I just don't even have words to describe it. Like, I'm just like, know that this place, this church, people who are still here, people who I've gotten to shake hands with and hug this morning, you have done so much in my life that has been paramount in my spiritual formation and in my formation as a man. I would not be who I am today without you all. And so thank you all so much. We're going to jump into the Word this morning. And like Pastor Rob said, I'm teaching at the camp this summer, this next week, which is going to be a lot of fun. Again, lots of crazy memories there. Lots of things that I'm just like, how am I going back to camp? Like, this is just so wild. But I'm so stoked. It's going to be so much fun. And I was like, Pastor Rob, is there anything specific you would like me to teach on? Like, are you guys going through a series? Is there like some like hot button issue that you want me to press because I'm not going to come back for another decade? And he's like, do whatever you want. And I said, man, that really stinks. But here we are. And I felt like for a little while, I was like, you know what? I'll just teach about what I'm going to teach about all this week. And it'll be super easy. It'll be super fun. But then I was like, you know what? I can't cop out like that. And so I decided I'm going to do something that Pastor Rob, don't worry, this isn't like an issue that Pastor Rob's like, Brandon, I need you to talk about this. But this is something that I've recognized throughout the church in Western, in the West, and in North America, and specifically on the West Coast of Canada and the United States. And so we're going to enter in, but before we do that, I'm just going to open in a word of prayer. Jesus, we are so grateful for your word. We are so grateful that it has been passed down from generation to generation, that it is wisdom that we have access to, that it is just a letter of love that you have given to us that we can glean from, that can shape our lives, that you speak to us in your word that it is living. Father, I pray that as we look into your word, that we would look with sincere and honest hearts, that we would look with a desire to be formed into the image of your Son, not to confirm our own biases, not to do anything that would propel us toward our own way of life, but that we would be compelled by who you are, what you have done, and what you have called us to. Jesus, we just give you this time. Would you speak through me louder than I ever could? In your holy name, Lord. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, my goodness. I'm just like, it's so shocking to be here. And I'm sorry if I don't know what the typical style on a Sunday morning is. I'm loud. I'm going to be honest. You know me. I'm a loud individual, okay? So I'm dynamic, I'm fun. You're not going to fall asleep, okay? That's my goal, and we're going for it. So quickly, the church over the last decade, this is a generalization, and so over the last couple of decades, the church has kind of slipped into this space where there's two camps, there's two groups of people. There's what is lovingly referred to as the old guard, those who came out of the purity movement, those who are in the Pentecostal movement, those who are fully just solidly planted in the scripture and in orthodoxy and in love for the word. And there's so much value there. And then there's the other end of the spectrum. We're looking at a spectrum here. So there's the one end that's firmly planted in the word, firmly planted in orthodoxy, firmly planted in the law. And then there's the other end that has been formed by culture, formed by the things of this world more than the things of Jesus. And that's not a dig, that's a cultural analysis, okay? So don't take offense to that. But there are the people who have said, who have bought into the lie of, I can do whatever I want as long as I don't hurt other people. That whatever I feel is good for me. That, so do you see the contrast that is present? That in our churches across Canada and in the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada specifically, because the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada were founded during the purity movement, those who are more seasoned in life will remember that you were not allowed to dance. You were not allowed to play cards. I used to get scolded for making card towers in the back of this church. I love you all so dearly. So there are things like that would take place. And then, like, you weren't allowed to go to movie theaters because if the rapture happened, for some reason, this roof is permeable, but the roof of a movie theater is not. So those are the kinds of things that we come out of. That's our history as a fellowship, as the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. So there's a lot of, like, there's meat there, and there's really good things there, and there's a value for the word, and there's a value for orthodoxy. But then coming out of that, we have gone in this direction where the world has told us, you know what, you can do whatever you want. And you can be whoever you want, you can say whatever you want, just don't hurt other people. But that kind of gets into its own thing. Pastor Rob is going to deal with that another day. Like I said, I'm not going to be back for a decade. So it's great. I love it. But what we're talking about today is the fact that as Christians, as followers of the way of Jesus, we're not actually called to either end of the spectrum. Did you know that? That you're not called to be a, like, Torah says this, this is how we operate, these are the law. Like, obviously, there's the Ten Commandments, which are the moral fiber of the universe that God has generously given us to recognize as the law. But you're not like, you know what, we're just going to get into it. So, like I said, the issue here, the crux of the situation is that there are two warring sides. Those who flinch at the word orthodoxy and those who flinch at the idea of not being black and white, right and wrong. There's a gray area in between. So that's what we're addressing. And I felt like it was safe to do this. I didn't want to pick a specific issue because if you pick a specific issue, then people are going to be like, man, you're talking right at me. But this way I'm talking at everybody and I'm going to offend you all. And so that's why I'm here. Because I want to offend everybody. Just kidding. I love you all. So we're gonna address legalism first. So if you have your Bible with me, okay. First hot tip while you're turning to Romans chapter 7. Hot tip: if you are like struggling with engaging in scripture, buy crayons. Okay, wax crayons are like next level for engaging with scripture. I'll show you really quickly. I read through the book of Mark recently, and just like when, I don't know if you can see this, but when you use crayons, you're able to like, there's like 24 colors in a pack, and they don't bleed, and it's like a highlighter. It's literally the best thing in the world. Like, it's literally changed the way that I engage with scripture by crayons, okay? There's probably some in the resource room downstairs. Just go steal a couple. It's for the work of your spirit. It's for the work of your soul, so it's not bad. Just kidding. Okay, Romans chapter 7. If you're there, say hey. Perfect. I love the. Who here has a paper Bible? That's awesome. You go, guys. Everybody else, there's next week. Okay, Romans chapter 7. So Paul is writing to a church in Rome who is addressing a very specific issue. When things are written and letters are written, we need to understand context in order to understand the scripture. I'm sure that Pastor Rob and Pastor Ben go through hermeneutics whenever they tackle scripture. But when you are reading something, you need to understand the complexity of the historical situation. You need to understand the relational dynamics. You need to understand what's actually taking place. Because if you read it outside of that, it's going to make no sense at all. Like, you're going to read something like, I'm not even going to say anything because it's out of context and it's going to be weird. But Paul is writing to a group of Christians in Rome, in the capital city of the area, and it's made up of Jewish believers and Gentile believers. And so there's like warring history here. Like, these are the people who have been oppressing the Jews for hundreds of years, and then the Jews are like, we're the chosen people of God, and he gave us the law, and this is what you're called to. So really, it's very similar to what we have today. There's the old guard who have been faithful to the word and who stand true on the word, and then there are the people who are coming to Jesus out of things like transsexuality, gender identity, gangs, drugs, violence. Like, there's these two warring worlds, so to seem, that are coming together, and there's issues and there's infighting and there's division because of the way that we interpret scripture. And so that's what Paul's writing to at this moment, is he's writing to a group of people who, there are some who are Hellenistic, so they're Roman or they're Greek, and there's some who are Jewish, and the Jews are like, hey, in order to be saved by Jesus, you got to get circumcised. Like, legitimately, that's what they were doing. Like, you have to follow the law, my friend. So get circumcised as an adult. And that's funny. You can laugh at that. Like, ouch, right? And like, flint knife, like, this is not a surgical thing. Like, this is like, ah! If you're not laughing, you don't understand the consequences of the situation here. They're forcing adults to get circumcised to be followers of Jesus, okay? Okay, I guess it's not that funny, but that's fine. Okay, so Paul's writing to this group of people, and he's addressing this issue because there are people who are saying, in order to actually follow the way of Jesus, you need to follow Torah. And Paul's saying, hey, just so you know, that's not the case. And so we find ourselves in Romans chapter 7, and we're going to be in verse 7. This whole section is about how we are, like, the law was given as a gift for people. And Paul goes on to say that if he did not have the law, he would not know sin. Like, Romans is so dense. Oh, my word. It's so dense. But he says if he didn't have the law, he wouldn't know that he was sinning. He wouldn't know that what he was doing is wrong. And so the law actually brings out the ability to recognize the sinfulness in our heart and our need for Jesus and our desire for Jesus and desire for righteousness. Does that make sense? And so the law is valuable and the law is good. But here we see Paul say that, hey, just so you know, the law is for the living. And guess what? Did you know you're not living anymore? Because you are dead in Christ, you've been crucified with him, and you've been given new life through Christ. You're no longer alive to the flesh, but you're alive to the spirit. And so you don't actually have a binding obligation to the things of the law, the things of the Old Testament, because Paul says you have been given new life in Christ, and so now you live by the spirit, no longer by the law. The law only brings death. It can't bring life, because the law only makes us aware of what is sin. It doesn't actually, we can combat it by not doing it, but it doesn't actually give life. And so Paul writes this to this church, and he's saying, like, hey, if the law didn't tell me that coveting was wrong, I wouldn't know that coveting is sin. And so the law is beautiful and generous, and it's good, but the law only brings death. So I touched there briefly, but we're jumping all over the New Testament this morning, okay? I'm sorry. I'm super sorry. So the law is the moral fiber of the universe given to the people of Israel that they would live in the way that God had designed humanity to live. Okay, so it's essentially God's desire with picking a single family was that they would be an archetype, a example for the rest of the world, that they would be able to see, okay, that's a life that I want to live. Look at how beautiful their community is. Look how beautiful their social justice is. Look how beautiful their equality is. Look how beautiful their care for one another is. That's God's desire. And then Israel messed it up a whole bunch. Like a whole bunch. And so, but that's what the law is. It was a God saying, hey, this is how I designed the universe. Like, these are the things that are just present. If you don't follow it, you're going to get hurt, but if you follow it, this is the way that life has actually been designed to be done the best. And so it's a gift to us. But ready, jump to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 to 11. And I'm not going to lie, there's some harsh things that Paul says here. It's scripture. Don't be mad at me, be mad at God, and then change your heart because God is perfect and you are not. Okay, ready? Paul says this to Timothy. He says, now, we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. So the law is good if it's used in a proper manner. Then he says, understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just. That's you and me. We are just. We are considered righteous because we have been given righteousness through God. So the law is not made for the just, but made for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for the unholy and the profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, for the sexually immoral, for men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine, and doctrine just means teaching, sound doctrine in the accordance with the gospel, which means the good news, of the glory of the blessed God which has been entrusted to me. So anything essentially that is sound teaching that Paul has been given by the Spirit of God, anything that is contrary to that, that's the things that the law is meant for. So that if people are living in murder or perjury or lying, that they would be able to see the written word of God and say, oh my goodness, I am in sin. I am living contrary to the way that God has designed me to live. And so we are no longer bound by the things of the law because we are righteous. We are no longer living in that. And so we don't have to sacrifice 10 turtle doves, and we don't have to go to Torah. And ladies, you don't have to sit outside the camp once a month for 7 days. We don't have to go 10 miles away. Like, those things don't actually apply to us anymore. But the moral fiber of the universe does, and so we don't live according to the law, we live according to the Spirit. But then people get really weird in that, and so jump with me to 1 Corinthians, I told you, we're jumping everywhere. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Okay, 6 verse 12. Paul is writing to a church here who literally took the gift of grace, the freedom of the Spirit, and said, hey, We are good. They're also Hellenistic. They're Roman and Greek, and they have these like worldviews that the human body is actually a prison, and that the idea that Plato created was that if you are able to ascend past your human body, essentially, when you die, you are escaping the prison of your body, that your body is actually evil. The idea is called Gnosticism, that your body is evil and your spirit is good. And so you can do good things in the spirit like praying and fasting and worship. But whatever you do with your body doesn't actually matter. And so they address this lie, and he's addressing that in this moment. So with me, verse 12, he says, all things are lawful for me. That's true, because we no longer live by the law, we live by the Spirit. It says, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach is meant for food. That's in quotations, because that was a common Roman like a word that people would say, like, whatever, like that, out of the Gnostic idea that, like, the food, like the body is passing, the food's for body, the body's for food, whatever, all this different stuff. So he uses a common term of phrase in order to build the need. And then he says, and God will destroy both. The body is not meant. So here's him writing a retort to the idea that the body is made for food and the food made for body. He says, the body is not made for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take a member of Christ and make them a member of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, two will become one flesh, but he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but sexual immorality a person sins against themselves. Okay, this is the important part. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? Ready? This is the important part. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Church, just because we live under the spirit of the law, or the law of the Spirit, does not mean that we live in freedom to do whatever we would like. You have been set free by grace that you did not deserve, by the free gift of God. Yes. You've been set free to do something. You've been set free to live in accordance with the Spirit. You've been set free to honor and glorify God with your body, mind, and soul. You've not been set free to do whatever it is you would like. There's a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And like this quote like really struck me when I read it, because I had to read it 6 times. But he says, only the believing are obedient, but only the obedient believe. And there's so much to that that you have to unpack, because there's an idea in our world that you can be an idealistic convert to Christianity and not live like Jesus and still be a Christian. Jesus didn't desire idealistic converts. He didn't desire idealistic, like he doesn't want you to just think the right things. He desired you to live in the fullness of life that he modeled when he was on earth for 33 years. That's his desire for your life. And if you are believing, you truly believe that he is the Son of God, who he said he was, you have no no recourse, no option, but to be obedient to the Spirit, the things that God is saying to you. And here's the thing. This is the really scary part. You have a responsibility. We need to focus on the Spirit. Okay? Ready? Jump with me one last time. I'm wrapping up right here. But Romans 8, 1 to 8. Ready? This is a beautiful section of Scripture. And most of you probably know the first part of it, but we're going to read the whole section, and you're just going to be blown away by the power of Paul in this moment. What a man. And so he says this, therefore, no one, because there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. That's great. We've been set free from the law. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free, and Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So you are set free from the law of sin and death. You are set free from the things of the old. You have been brought into the ways of the new. You are a new creation, and you can put off the old self and put on the Spirit. But here's the important part. For God has done what the law weakened by flesh could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And so there's some serious implications to this text. That when we read something like this, we like to read the first part where it's like, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is like a freeing thing. And it's something that like we need to be shouting from the rooftop that Jesus offers forgiveness from everything. But then we also need to continue reading. We need to read the fact that, okay, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, but then you can't live according to the things of the flesh. You have to live according to the things of the Spirit. The law is according to the flesh. Sin is according to the flesh. The Spirit is life and love and joy. And what Nancy said with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, the spiritual fruit that comes from living according to what God has called us to. And so there's this expectation from Jesus upon you, okay, that you would be engaging with the Spirit in everyday conversation to understand what he is calling you to. And here's the thing. I forgot to write it in here, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul talks about something called godly grief. And godly grief is a gift. Godly grief is something that we are given that leads to repentance and depth of relationship with the Father. It's when you do something that you know you shouldn't have done, where you sin against your conscience, where you sin against the Spirit, and you're like, oh my word, I just feel like just this weight that's upon me and I need to repent and I need to go before the Father. Okay, there's a massive difference, and Pastor Rob can explain this to you sometime, but there's a massive difference between conviction and what God gives us in the Spirit and shame. Shame is from the enemy. It causes you to go inward. It causes you to hide. It causes you to not confess. Conviction brings us to a place of repentance and confession. And so there is an obligation for you as a believer to operate in the things of the Spirit. You can't make the two steps of the spectrum. You don't get to jump onto the side of, I can do whatever I want, because then you're sinning against the Spirit. And really, that's the sin that's not forgivable. Jesus says that. That to sin against the Spirit and to sear the connection that the Holy Spirit has with your spirit is just like, that's a no-no. But then you also can't jump to the other side where you're like, well, I'm just going to follow the law and I'm going to hold everybody accountable. I'm going to add to the law and I'm going to be the lawgiver. I'm going to be that person. Because that's not what God has called you to either. You are not the lawgiver. You are not perfect. what it is individual conversations with people where God is going to speak to you about things in your life. He's going to speak to you and give you wisdom. He's going to speak to you and give you correction. And you have to oblige and be a part of that conversation. You have to engage with the Spirit in that. And if you don't, you're really not living to the fullness of what Jesus has for you. Because you're choosing the flesh, you're choosing your desires, you're choosing the things that you want over the things that God has said, here, I have good things for you. I want to give you good gifts. I want to give you good life. I want to give you joy and peace and love and company and comfort. But you just have to stop. And you're over here like, but I want to do my own thing, Jesus. See, I told you I was going to offend everybody. This room's quiet. But here's the thing. Pastor Rob can't do it for you. Pastor Ben can't do it for you. As a follower of the way of Jesus, you are obligated. You have entered into a community relationship between you, the Spirit, the Father, and the Son, where you are engaging in conversation, where you're engaging in formation, where you're engaging in what God wants to do in your heart, mind, spirit, and soul. Like he's working in you and he wants the best for you. Did you know that? But you have to do it. You can't abdicate the role that you play in this relationship. It's your responsibility. I'm going to invite the prayer team up at this time, and I feel like going out of this, like if you found yourself in one end of either of the sides of the spectrum, if you have just held yourself so tightly to the law, no games, no cards, no movie, like whatever it might be, if you have just held yourself, your family, your kids, your siblings, if the weight of judging other people has just been like your job, release that. But if you're on the other side where you're like, I can do whatever I want, I can, for young people, the big thing is hooking up. For elderly people, I don't know what you guys do. But maybe it's just neglecting your spiritual formation. Maybe it's saying, you know what? I said yes 40 years ago. I'm good. I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need to spend time in prayer. I don't need to grow. I'm good. I'm set. And you actually have to come back to this place where it's like, you know what? I'm going to engage in relationship with Jesus. And so whatever it might be, or if you just want prayer for anything, it's open. And I'm guessing that these are really trusted people. I recognize some of them. But you don't have to have anything specific. You don't have to be a regular attender here. If you just need prayer, they would love to pray with you. So Pastor Ben's going to lead us a little bit, and we're just going to respond. Just whatever that looks like for you. If it's in prayer, if it's in worship, if it's in contemplation, just be obedient to the Spirit in this moment.